Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vankara Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samar Sarda from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks, Neerav. Good evening, everybody, and welcome again for the quarterly conference call of Vankara Limited. From the senior management, we are led by Mr. Abhishek Kapoor, the CEO, Neeraj and Vishnumurthy. Gentlemen, congratulations on yet another good quarter on pre-sales, and I hand it over to you for your initial comments.
Good evening and welcome once again to Vankara Limited's earnings call for this third quarter. My name is Neeraj Gautam, and I serve as Executive Vice President of Finance at Vankara Limited. I would like to thank you for joining us today. As a leading real estate company, we are proud to report our financial results for the last quarter and nine-month period, and we look forward to sharing our outlook and key initiatives with you. The result of quarter ending December 31st, 2022, along with a comprehensive presentation, have already been uploaded to the stock exchanges for your review. During this call, I will provide a summary of the key highlights of the quarter and nine-month period, and my colleagues and I will be available to answer any questions you may have. Additionally, we welcome any feedback or suggestion you may have. We are glad to report that company has made a strong start to the current fiscal year, and we are maintaining this momentum throughout this quarter. We are thrilled to announce that we have achieved a record high sales for the third quarter and for first 9 months of this fiscal year, highlighting our strong brand presence in our markets. We believe and hope that we are at the peak of mortgage interest rate cycle. Amidst uncertainty, high interest and inflation in the western part of the world, our economy has shown resilience, and the latest fiscal budget and monetary policy provide a stable outlook for our economy and growth. We see sustained strong demand, particularly for Grade A developers. The government's focus on infrastructure, investment and housing for all, the budget is commendable. The steep hike and outlay for the PM Awas Yojana by 66% to rupees 79,000 crore will give the much needed flip to the affordable housing sector. An estimated growth rate of over 6% for the Indian economy for next fiscal year is likely to support the current momentum of sales in the real estate sector. Moving to the operational performance of the company, during the quarter FY 2023, collections from operations amounted to rupees 742 crore, an increase of 87% compared to the same period in the previous fiscal year when collections were 397 crore. On a nine-month basis, collections for FY 2023 reached to 1,959 crore, a 78% increase compared to the same period in the previous fiscal year when collections were rupees 1,100 crore. Concurrently, operating outflows also increased by approximately 78%, reflecting increased spending on projects development to ensure timely and efficient completion. Coming to our debt management, our prudent launch strategy has resulted in a decreasing debt per square foot on construction area, demonstrating efficient capital utilization. Over the last 4 years, debt per square feet, I would put an emphasis here, debt per square feet has decreased by approximately 49%. Despite incurring additional debt of approximately 100 crore for land acquisition, our net debt has declined to INR 2,135 crore as on December 31st, 2022. Moving to our quarterly sales performance, we are happy to report that we achieved the highest ever sales for third quarter of FY 2023 with a total of INR 796 crore, a 20% increase compared to INR 666 crore in the same quarter of the previous year. We sold 749 units covering an area of 1.02 million square feet during the quarter, a 3% increase from the 690 units covering 0.99 million square feet sold in the same quarter of the previous year. our sales were primarily driven by ongoing projects, with over 90% of our sales booking coming from these projects during the quarter. Moving to our financial performance for the quarter, financial results in the third quarter of financial year 2023, our consolidated revenue was INR 410 crore, which represents a 67% increase from INR 246 crore in the same period the previous year. Our EBITDA for the quarter was INR 128 crore with an EBITDA margin of 31%. This is a significant increase of 51% compared to INR 85 crore in the same quarter last year. Our net profit after tax was INR 21 crore in Q3 FY23, a significant increase of 12 times compared to 2 crore in the same period a year ago. Coming to 9 months performance, in terms of sales, the company recorded its highest ever 9-month sales of INR 2,100 crore, a 33% increase compared to INR 1,576 crore during the same period the previous year. This was achieved by selling 2,078 units with a total area of 2.79 million square feet, which was 20% higher than 1,616 units sold in 2.32 million square feet for the previous year. Most sales came from ongoing projects. During the 9-month period, the collections from operations was 1,959 crore, a 78% increase from INR 1,100 crore in the previous year. Coming to the consolidated revenue for 9 months, during the 9-month period, company's consolidated revenue was INR 961 crore. The EBITDA for the same period was INR 325 crore, resulting to an EBITDA margin of 34%. Additionally, the profit for after tax for the 9-month period stood at INR 35 crore. Debt reduction and surplus cash flow reflects company's debt and financial stability. There has been a steady decrease in debt per square foot of the under-construction area, showcasing effective use of capital. Over the past 4 years, this debt per square feet has been reduced by approximately 49%. Additionally, even though repo rate has risen by 225 basis points in recent months, the cost of debt has gone only slightly increased in our case. As on December 31, 2022, the balance receivables from sold units in all launch projects was INR 2,643 crore, covering more than 75% of our remaining costs for under-construction projects, which was estimated to be INR 3,517 crore. When combined with unsold receivables of INR 5,641 crores from the launch projects, the company is projected to have a surplus of operating cash flow of INR 4,767 crores, which is favorable in comparison to current net debt of INR 2,135 crore. Furthermore, the company also has unopened inventory in existing projects with an estimated surplus of 2,007 crore. On business development side, the company has successfully acquired approximately 100 acres of land in Chennai in the quarter for a planned plotted development project. The project is expected to be launched in next 6 months, and there are several other opportunities being considered for acquisition in the south and west. In general, the Indian real estate market is demonstrating robust growth and resurgence with new possibilities arising due to shifting market conditions. The Indian economy is displaying stability, robustness, and we have a positive outlook on it. Our attention in on our new projects, we will persist in expanding our operations while preserving a sound financial position. Our focus is on implementing environmentally, socially, and governance responsible practices and delivering value for our stakeholders through openness, creativity, strong management, and brand recognition. We are optimistic about our continued improvement in the long run and our capability to offer reliable, cost-effective, profitable, and responsible growth. That concludes my statement. Thank you for all attending the conference call. Now we are open to answering your questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Aryan Sharma from Infinity Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is, what is your revenue guidance for next around 5 years down the line?
Good evening, Aryan. We don't give guidance, Aryan, typically as a process. But as you are seeing the trend, typically, I mean, from last year to this year, if you look at our numbers, this year we already had 2,100 crores of pre-sales, right? Now, these pre-sales keep accumulating, and as delivery happens, they get converted into our revenue recognition and therefore into our, you know, in terms of accounting showing as revenue numbers. So, as I said, currently in this year itself, we have launched about 4 million square foot. Already, we are adding another 2 million square foot. The numbers that were shared by Neeraj a little while back, and in fact, if you look at our total revenue guidance in terms of the projects that have already been launched and will get launched, is to the extent of total value that we are looking at in terms of adding in terms of 6 million square foot that we have looked at for the launch.
Next question.
Just the surplus itself, total top line will be about 4,500 crores, other than what is already under construction and the revenues that have to be collected from the under construction project. So if you just look at the top line that we will add with 6.28 million is 4,500 crores. So you can estimate that these projects will get completed between 3 to 4 years. Then we are adding, we have given a launch pipeline of another 16 million square foot. That will again add a revenue potential. So potentially you can calculate what kind of numbers you'll be achieving on an annualized basis.
Yes, so that would give me the answer for the guidance, I guess. So not the guidance now, but what would be the targeted debt levels and the debt equity ratio, if you can shed some light on that.
So our target is to continue to maintain debt equity levels of under 1. And as we have seen on a per square foot basis, we have brought down our debt numbers from about 2,500 rupees a square foot to 1,291 rupees a square foot. That's shared on slide number 30. Of course, given the fact that while we have reduced the net debt from 2,144 to 2,135 crores last quarter, we have also acquired land. So on an overall basis, if you look at it, the debt has gone down in the last quarter by about 109 crores. It's a constant process in our business. Debt is something that works for us at a certain optimum level. So we are bringing those efficiencies in our cost of capital and at the same time ensuring that the growth doesn't get compromised. So while the debt per square foot number will continue to decrease, I mean, as I said, we are launching another 2 million in this quarter. We are launching another total of 16 million before the March of next quarter. I mean, you can look at the per square foot debt coming down, and therefore that adds a lot of value. And going forward, naturally, with its own tendency, the residential debt will continue to come down.
Okay. Thank you, sir. My next question is on the Mumbai market. So how was the response and how do you see the Mumbai market's current and future potential?
I'm sorry?
The Mumbai market.
So Mumbai market, we have a dedicated team that we have built for the Mumbai market. And we are looking at new acquisitions. Multiple proposals are under acquisition discussion. And we are looking at redeploying a lot of capital in that market between Mumbai and Pune. So as we go ahead over next 2 to 3 years time frame, you will see a clear shift in our acquisitions and therefore over a period of time in our launches. So our goal is to increase and over next 3 to 5 years time frame, go up to 30 to 40% of our pre-sales coming from that market.
Okay, noted. And last question, if I can add, is can you shed some light on the commercial projects and what would be the commercial residential mix in the years to come?
So our overall, from a group's point of view, I'll just give you a broad guideline of how we look at our revenues or pre-sales number coming from. About 35% of our business will come from Purvankara. 35% will come from Provident. Of course, the square footage in Provident will be higher because per square foot realization will be lower compared to Purvankara. About 20% of our business will continue to come from plotted development, and about 10% will come from commercial. Having said that, obviously, commercial, there will be a lease and hold strategy other than one project that we have right now, which we're looking at strata selling. So as we go along, that number will increase.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mihir Desai from Desai Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. And sir, congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question would be around EBITDA margins. So if you can give some color on how the EBITDA margins and PAT margins are going to be, or what is your expectations for each project or, I must say, product mix?
See, if you look at our current EBITDA margin, it is at 34% for the quarter. And typically, in our Purvankara projects, we earn an EBITDA margin of 30%-32%. In Provident projects, we earn an EBITDA margin of 22%-25%. And in plotted projects, we earn an EBITDA margin of 35%-40%. That's the broadly EBITDA margin for our different products. As far as PAT is concerned, PAT is a function of multiple things. It's all, as you know, in real estate, account revenue recognition and profit reporting is based on accounting standard 115. PAT will be the function of the kind of operating expenses we are incurring in a quarter, sales and marketing overheads, vis-à-vis the kind of units or number of units we are delivering in a particular quarter and recognizing revenue. I hope that clarifies my answer, your queries.
Yeah, sir. Sir, one another inventory. Tell us, what is your ready to move?
We have interrupted you, but we are losing your audio. May I request you to come in a better reception area, please?
Yeah. Is it better now?
It's still the same.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah. So sir, if you can also give an indication on how much is our ready-to-move inventory left from our newly launched projects?
If you look at our slides in our investor presentation, slide number 14 and slide number 34 and 35, our ready-to-move inventory is very less. It is 0.29 million sq ft left. And our inventory from ready and our inventory from ongoing projects as of 31st December 2020 was 6.99 million sq ft.
Okay. Yeah. So sir, supply shouldn't be a constraint for us, right?
Of course not. And what it meant is the inventory left only for 0.29 million sq ft means is over the last two and two and a half years, we have completely sold our ready-to-move inventory. And right now, our launch project inventory is already 6.99 million sq ft, which is a good decent inventory. Besides this, as Abhishek mentioned some time back, this financial year itself, we are adding another two and a half million sq ft by launching new projects in this Q4. Besides that, our launch pipeline is on slide number 20, which gives information that 16 million sq ft we are targeting to launch in the next 12-month period from now. And hence, there will be no dearth of supply at a different product segment from Purvankara, Provident, and plotted development.
Sure, sir. And lastly, on cash flows, sir, Can you give some projections of cash flows for, say, 2-3 years down the line?
No, if you look at our slide number 25, which gives a kind of trend that what kind of cash flow we are generating quarter-on-quarter basis, on 9-month basis or year-on-year basis, we have been generating post-operating surplus for last few years by now. If you look at 9 months period, we our cash flow from operation has grown by 78%. And trend is very visible. Every quarter we are surpassing substantially previous quarters of collections. Now, what kind of cash flow we can generate? Eight is the trend you can see by spending on my construction and development. Cash flow is coming. Besides that, if you look at our slide number 27 in our presentation, that gives a kind of estimate the potential of cash flow which our business can generate in next financial year in coming 2-3 years.
Sure. That's all from my end. If I have a few more questions, I'll join the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ronald from Sharekhan Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and congratulations on good numbers. For my first question was on this new business development. So can you elaborate, what kind of developable area would be there for this Chennai project, and how much money has been spent on this project, and how it was funded?
So it is 100 acres. Total deployment in the project is about 200 crores. We are looking at generating a little over 3 million square foot of development area, and the total development potential will be about 750 crores.
Okay, great. And you also highlighted that it will be launched here. In next 6 months. So has the management been looking for, business development which can be launched at a much faster pace, say within 6 months, or is there kind of a gap in timelines you have set for yourself that new business development should, come to the launch pipeline within 6 months or say within 9 months period?
You're absolutely right. So one clear business development parameter which we look at before deploying any capital is that the project should be launched within 6 to 9 months from the date of deployment. So all our new acquisitions in Provident Purvankara or Purva Land are focused on ensuring that we have visibility on the sanctions, which is in a shorter period of time so that we can take the project to market. And in terms of the acquisition strategy, we are looking at both land, joint development, both the opportunities, both in terms of greenfield and brownfield projects which are coming our way. On both asset light and capital deployment side, acquisition side, we are looking at it. That's the broad structure.
The related question would be, sir, you have generated strong cash flows and, our debt levels are comfortable. So have you, put a number to the cash flow that, X amount of this cash flows would be used in business development and this much percentage should go in construction? So what kind of, money you would spend per annum, say, as a percentage of cash flows or whichever way you want to project it?
So if you just simply look at the last 9 months number where we generated an operating inflows of about 2000 crores, the total total land payments made were about 200 crores. We see this kind of trend continuing in terms of our acquisition strategy. We'll continue to deploy money into new acquisition other than, of course, operations and some capital goes towards debt reduction, etc. But we'll continue to deploy this kind of money.
There is no fixed percentage. However, as Abhishek mentioned, the business development is also important. At the same time, our cash flow and our outflow, operating outflow, presented on slide number 25 gives a detail that what kind of focus we have on completing the construction of our ongoing projects and deploying our collections towards constructing and completing our projects. Hope that clarifies your question.
So the line for the participant dropped. We move to the next participant. Next question is from the line of Srinath Gandhi from RFA FinCap. Please go ahead.
Sure. Hi. Very good evening, everyone, and congratulations on the numbers. So I want to understand, how are the Mumbai projects, from the diversification perspective, how are Mumbai projects performing, and what are the growth plans for Mumbai as a, Western as a micro market in terms of new launch plans?
So we have launched two projects in Mumbai, one under the brand Purvankara in Chembur called Claremont, and another one in Shield Fata Dombivli called Palm Vista. For our expansion plans, we are looking at multiple strategies. We are looking at outright as well as JDA structures and society redevelopment. So we have a robust pipeline of projects in all three areas, and depending on the kind of margin and the kind of transaction, because we are very much focused on ensuring that we have profitable business and keeping in mind our strengths, we are looking at all three categories of projects, which is JDA, outright and society redevelopment. Each has its own advantage, and we will go with what kind of feasibility we see in the pipeline, and we will see this deployment happening over next 18 to 24 months.
Sure, sir. This is helpful. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Anush Khatri from Value Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes. Sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. So I had a couple of questions. So we are seeing interest rates rising. Have you noticed a decrease in, say, traffic to the sites or any particular trends that you've noticed? And say if the rates were to rise further, at what point do you think it will start affecting our demand?
So I think two things. If you look at our sales, almost 80% of our sales, over 80% of our sales are in the sub 2 crore bracket, right? And you can see that and refer to slide number 14, and that'll give you a breakup of the geography and the average ticket value of our units. So in terms of increasing interest rates, for now, to answer your question, we haven't seen any decrease in demand because of increasing interest rates, as you can see that in the numbers. Also, we believe that we are now in the tapering off cycle of the increasing interest rates. I mean, the last increase is at 25 bips. We are hopeful and positive that there may be no further increases from RBI. Having said that, the impact of this increase, which is happening on the repo rate and the EMIs, if you look at and you do the numbers, the math stacks up in a way where increments of salaries and income on an annualized basis versus increase in EMI easily gives enough headroom for customers to continue to buy. And the other factor which is very interesting, which we have seen, is that the consumers are now very, very aware that over a buying cycle which lasts almost 15 years to 20 years, though average repayment now has come down between 11 to 15 years for loans, bank loans, consumers have become really, really sharp in knowing how they want to manage their cash flows and how they want to repay their loan, because there's a lot of flexibility today available with banks in terms of the product itself. So on an overall basis, our view at this point in time is even if there is an impact, it will be marginal. And, for now, we are not seeing any real change on the ground.
And beside this, for our, provident customers, by break-even income tax rate limit, government has announced the increase in taxable limit for in this budget. That will also leave some more money in the hands of our customers, and that will enable them to set off any increase any EMI because of the increased interest rate.
Sure, sir. That's very helpful. So another thing, do you have any new locations for integrated development, like in Delhi and NCR or any others?
From geography point of view, we are very focused on South and West. Our goal or general focus is on 5 markets, which is Chennai, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Mumbai and Pune. The rest of the markets, you know, we will continue to deploy more opportunistically. As far as North is concerned, that plan is always on the anvil, but we haven't really moved in that direction at this point in time. Our clear focus is to go deeper in the markets we are present in. And of course, right now, really big focus is on the West, so we want to scale up the West business as we speak.
Sure, sir. Got it. Okay. So just one more, if I could squeeze. So what is the outlook for JDA with regard to, say, new project acquisitions over the next 1 or 2 years? And do you think the field is becoming more competitive from a bidding perspective?
That's a healthy way of actually doing business development. It should be a healthy mix between outright transactions and joint development, and of course redevelopment in markets like Mumbai. So we see JDA as a continuing process. You know, there are a lot of people who deal in land, and that gives us opportunity to developers like us. But as consolidation has happened, you know, there aren't enough developers in the market who everybody will, you know, trust. So as you may see, the consolidation has happened in consumer demand, it's happened in capital, and it's also happened in land. So the number of people who are approaching the developers, because there are limited number of developers, is much higher. So we don't see that as a challenge at all for a strong brand like ourselves.
Sure, sure. And so would you be able to share the total revenue breakup of Purvasteak and Starworth?
I think we will, yeah, we can share that detail offline. But yeah, I think for us, the big focus is really Starworth, and we will continue to see growth happening there. We can share that separately.
All right, so that's it from Anne. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Harish Shah from HS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Harish.
Hello.
Hello, Harish, your voice is breaking.
Can you
hear? Harish, hello? I can hear you, but your voice is breaking. May I request you to come in a better reception area or rejoin the queue, please? We move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Nikita Mehta from Newland. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I just had a couple of questions, very broad-based. I just wanted to check with you, so what are your thoughts on the current market, Mumbai market potential, and how do you see this growing further? Just your thoughts on this.
So we believe that Mumbai market is poised for continuous growth. Multiple infrastructure initiatives are currently underway, which we believe will make huge difference to the movement of people and therefore economic activity in Mumbai. Whether it is the coastal road, or whether it is the Nhava Sivri link, or the new airport, or the metro stations, or the new flyovers connecting BKC. So there is tremendous infrastructure that is going on in Mumbai, and we believe that that will make it the livability and the quality of life will significantly improve for people in that market, and it will continue to attract talent and people as the city becomes a larger and larger megapolis. So we believe there is a huge opportunity in Mumbai, and that's why we want to be there, and we think that the market is going to continue to grow.
Okay. So, and also, what is our breakup in terms of JV, own development, redevelopment in the terms of total sales? And do we see changing this mix, or are we going to continue with the same?
I think this information we can share offline, but you know, it's on a broad stroke I can share with you that our strategy on all three counts will continue. Of course, in Mumbai we will be a lot more focused on society redevelopment.
Okay, okay. And so what are the DE levels that we are looking at? Like any guidance in those terms?
In what sense would you elaborate? Deal size you are saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so for us the sweet spot is anywhere between 1 million to 2 million square foot. That's majority of our transactions. Ideally the target is that a minimum of 750-800 crores of top line should be there to make it viable for us to put our time and investment and effort in the business in a particular project, so that you know it's remunerative enough for the organization to participate in the project. But if it is a city center project, you know, we can make some exceptions if it's a marquee project. But generally speaking, that's the kind of you know, evaluation criteria we put. Some of our projects are very large, which will be in excess of 5-6 million square foot, but they are fewer. But focus really of BD is to look at projects between 1 million to 2 million square foot.
All right, sir. That was really helpful, sir. For any follow-up questions, I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Weber from VK Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I wanted to understand, post the EBITDA margin level, what kind of cost do we see going forward on a sustainable basis and how much should the interest cost be normally?
As you know, the interest in the case of our case is a borrowing cost for inventory. So whatever interest we are incurring is essentially gets capitalized to the inventory. EBITDA margin, as I mentioned, to the question of some other participant, as a Purvankara level, our EBITDA margin will be close to 30 to 34%. For Provident Housing Limited, our EBITDA margin will be in the range of 22 to 25%. For Purva Land business, our EBITDA margin will be in the range of 35 to 40%. That is the EBITDA margin broadly of we are operating in our different product segment. If you look at our EBITDA margin over a period of time in quarter on quarter or year on year basis, that is also ranging in the same range. As I mentioned about the interest is essentially is part of our inventory and gets capitalized as and when we incur.
Just to add, you know, in terms of other costs, if you look at overheads do go up, but they go up marginally, but the volumes can go up significantly because, you know, the leadership team that is already put in place, you know, doesn't require too much addition. What we have already built in last 2 years of the organization structure and hiring of some senior leadership positions, we have spoken about it in the past and you can refer to some of our earlier conversations. That team is capable of, has brought significant bandwidth, and that's the reason we are looking at the kind of scale of launches that we are working towards. So in terms of bandwidth, at the leadership level, I think we are well equipped. And the organization structure is very well equipped, systems, processes is well equipped. So more or less, we are talking about people who will be hired at a mid-management to lower management level. And therefore, the overhead costs, we don't expect it to significantly increase with the increased volumes. On other costs, most of the other costs are pro rata to the projects. So I think that will be in line with the kind of business that we are looking at doing.
So, as a percentage of sales, how much would interest be on a sustainable basis?
So, if you look at this year's number, we are at about 2100 crores as of now, and our interest cost as of now, year to date, is about 257 crores.
And you know, I like to add is, the interest as a percentage of sales is not an appropriate metric to look at. Interest we are incurring to funding the construction cost. And on a overall basis, if you look at the per square foot basis, what kind of interest we are incurring, it's ranging from 250 rupees per square foot to 450 rupees per square foot interest cost we are incurring for developing a project.
No, but what interest you are paying on ongoing projects will be capitalized, right? So I'm saying as a percentage of the sales which you are booking, What is the trend?
If you look at the average realization is about 7,500 rupees to 8,000 rupees, and the interest cost, as Neeraj mentioned, is about 400 to 450. You're looking at about 5 to 6% of the top line as your interest cost.
Okay, got that. Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure. And secondly, if our EBITDA margins are somewhere between 25% and 30%, so these are margins before overheads, this thing?
EBITDA margin is always after overheads, after meeting all our costs.
So that's what my earlier question was. So if we take EBITDA margins at this level and then interest is another 5-6%, depreciation would not be much, right? So then what kind of PBT margins are we targeting?
What is current PBT margin?
So I think the right way to answer that question is also on the mix of what is hitting your revenue revenue recognition. So in a JDA, typically your margins are slightly lower because you are deploying lower capital. In a outright, your margins are much higher because you're acquiring outright. So on an overall basis, if you look at it, I think net of these numbers, it obviously depending again on the mix of the inventory which is getting recognized on delivery, you will look at the numbers moving anywhere between 12 to 15% as a number.
You're right, absolutely right. Our PBT after EBITDA margin will be about 20% in the range of 18 to 20% will be our PBT as a project level. However, when you are looking at my P&L statement here, the PBT is coming, but the top line is coming from the revenue we recognize from the units which we have handed over. However, expenses which is being charged to that arriving at the PBT or EBITDA is the all operating expenses, sales and marketing expenses which are incurred during the period, and hence the EBITDA margin which is coming out of, or the PBT is coming out of the profit and loss statement, is not a reflective of the PBT which you are making at a project level.
Okay, I understood that. That I understood. But then, so that means at the P&L level, even the EBITDA margin will be lower because we are booking more expenses than overheads right now.
Because new launches are there, and as you
exactly
have new launches,
understood,
a lot of those expenses get booked right now. So, of course, and then you add all the other overheads that have to be booked on a annualized basis. We can't capitalize those, right? So, therefore, you have that the impact on the PBT.
And right, we can correct offline. The profit will accrue to the P&L as in when we the right now the under construction inventory which we are developing and inventory which we are planning to launch, all these inventory when we start completing, handing over, start recognizing, profit will keep flowing in the P&L statement.
Right, of course, I understand. So by when do we expect that P&L revenue recognition will be somewhat close to pre-sales in the next 2-3 years maybe? Like at least it should be 70-80%?
No, definitely next 2 years.
Next 2 years. So then...
2-3 years. After two years.
Yeah. The fresh stuff keep coming in. The fresh projects keep coming in.
That cycle.
Get corrected. Okay.
So by FY26, I think our P&L will more or less reflect our operating profits in that sense, right?
Yes.
Correct.
This financial year also, on a 9-month basis, we have reported a profit. And if you look at last 9-month period also, we reported a profit of 168 crore. However, it's not commensurate with the kind of sales we have done. Those profits will reflect as and when you start handing over, as you mentioned, after two and a half years, when you start giving position, those profits from these current sales will come to the profit and loss statement.
Sir, this 9 months, what are our sales and profits?
Also become consistently coming, right? So, because you're launching every quarter, you will be delivering every quarter as you go along. So that cycle also gets stabilized over next 3 years time frame.
Of course, I understand. And sir, this 9 months, what is our P&L sales and profit, and why is it so low?
P&L in this nine months we have our top line is 960 crore and the PAT is 35 crore. This is because we have handed over only 548 units during last quarter and on a nine-month basis. 1,065 units in last 9 months. We have handed over 1,065 units only, and that is why revenue from these handed over projects is less, which is 960 crore on total income basis. And as against this income, all overhead, all the sales and marketing expenses for all ongoing projects has been charged, and thereby the profit is less.
And the new
understood. Understood perfectly, sir. So how much would this overheads and launch expenses number be? Any idea? Approximately like 100 crores additional compared to...
It's part of our other expenses schedule, which you can refer in my detailed financial. However, in offline, I can send the detail to you.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you so much. Understood.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tanushree Mehta from Intrex Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for taking my question. Sorry if this was asked earlier. Just wanted to know how many square feet do we plan to launch in the current calendar year, 2023, that is?
We are looking at 16 million square foot of total launch. And you can refer to the launch pipeline, page number 20 from the
investors presentation.
Yeah, ICP. Yeah.
ICP, please refer page number 20 for ICP. That gives detail of our launch plan for next 12 months. And you can also refer our slide number 19 for the projects which we have launched in last 9 months and which we are launching in next 2 months for this financial year.
Got it. Understood. Just one more question. How has the price rise been across the projects, and any specific locations where you are witnessing the price appreciation?
So if you see overall year-on-year average price increase, it's about 15%. If you look at the slide 12, it's a mixed bag of price appreciation. We have had it across all products, Provident, Purvankara and Purva Land, and of course on the stage of the cycle of the project and the inventory available. So in certain micro markets we'd see where we have lesser inventory and high sales, the prices have gone up much higher. In certain markets where there is larger inventory but and the volumes are also large, but there is prices are inelastic there, the prices have not gone up so much. But on an overall basis, you can see that we have increased the prices by about 15% year-on-year basis.
Understood. Thank you for answering. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Harsh Parekh from SMC Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on the good set of numbers. My first question is with respect to the land purchase, 185 CR, I'm seeing here. Can you just... No, sorry, 138 CR of land payment which have been made. What is this land payment for? And my second question is with respect to the mix of JV, JDA and own development in total sales. Will there be any change in mix in YTD?
So this investment, as I mentioned earlier on the call, is towards a plotted development wherein total of about 100 acres has been acquired, and we are looking at a total potential of about 3 million square foot in this development, and this is a plotted development, and we are looking at a revenue potential of over 750 crores. As far as this is concerned. Now, from the point of view of going forward, as I mentioned earlier, not every project can be acquired outright. We are well aware of that. So we look at selectively the best opportunities in terms of acquiring projects, as in purchase of land. And then we look at the JDAs on a case-to-case basis where we believe that our margins are healthy enough to look at the opportunity. And that is an asset-light model, and it continues to be the larger portion of our volumes in terms of acquisition, because that's an asset-light model. But having said that, the margins are bigger in outright, so we will have a healthy mix of both.
Okay. And regarding the AIF status, what is the status as of now?
So in the AIF, we have done the first deployment, which is already done. We are looking at a second deployment, and in fact, the project is expected to launch between 6 to 9 months from now. And for the second deployment, we are already in process in the final stages. We are expecting to deploy the second round by the end of this quarter. And then, of course, there are other projects which are under evaluation. So we should be fully deployed in next 6 to 9 months for the AIF. And we should start seeing revenues in the AIF coming back within next 6 to 9 months time frame. So I think it's on track. Of course, we believe that as the revenues start picking up there and we start returning capital, that will be a great platform to go back and raise further capital from.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next question is from the line of Samar Sarda from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, Nirav. I thought we'd probably close it with a couple of questions from my end. Mr. Murthy, on this debt per square feet you've highlighted this time in your presentation, I'm assuming it is debt per square feet of area under development, which is 24 million sq ft? Hello?
The line for the management drop. Please stay connected, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected while we join the management back to the call. Participants, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected.
Yeah, hi. Mr. Murthy?
Hi, Samar. Yeah, Abhishek here. Sorry, we missed the last piece. The line dropped off.
So before I check, this debt per square feet you've highlighted this time around, I'm assuming the debt per square feet is the denominator is area under construction, which is 24 million sq ft, right?
Correct.
Now, it will also have a lot of plotted development, which will increase going ahead. My question really was, isn't debt to cash flow or debt to collections a more better phenomenon? Because if I see, from a sales perspective, of course, the last 2 years have been good. But if there is a year of bad sales or bad collections, we end up borrowing for servicing interest. Interest cost has jumped quite a bit in the 9 months of this fiscal year. Why wouldn't we do that and take debt per square feet as a metrics? Because shouldn't that be better as the industry is following?
So I'll answer it in two parts. One is, of course, this debt per square foot we have calculated on the denominator of about 16 million square foot, which is on page 35 of the ICP. The second is, you are right, that is also a matrix which we should benchmark. And if you look at our cash flows versus our debt numbers, that's significantly improving, as I think Neeraj spoke about it a while back. And on an ongoing basis, our view is, if you see another slide that we have got on the debt piece is the profiling of the debt, right? Now, if you look at the profiling of the debt, it talks about how much debt is already being is currently being is part of residential, and then which is self-liquidating, and how much is going towards CapEx in commercial, and how much is going towards land. So in our view, over a period of time, as we increase the volumes and we hold the debt at the same level, if you see consistently, we've been holding the debt at the same level or a similar level, especially the residential debt has continued to reduce. So what we are trying to indicate from this particular slide is that on an overall basis, there is consistent reduction of debt. Even in an absolute number, if you look at it for last 4 years, the debt has been reduced from 3,000 to about 2,000 crores. So there is a consistent conscious effort. At the same time, growth is important, and therefore, increasing volumes in is extremely important for us, and therefore, which is resulting into cash flows. But having said that, I think debt per square foot gives you another marker to look at on what is the kind of area which you are constructing, what is the kind of cover and revenue potential you have from the business that you are doing, and where in that context debt is seen. So that's where we see it as one of the matrices which can help. Of course, you're right, the other two matrices also can be evaluated, and we should look at it as a healthy mix of.
Okay. Just a follow up on this, if I take a more smaller period, say from FY21,
Obviously, from FY19, we brought down our debt from 2,900 crores to like 2,500 crores, and again, we are nearly 2,600 crores. Going ahead, you will have more area under construction as you expand into these five markets. Do you have a number in mind for your absolute gross debt in the near term? Because even if you have debt allocated to land, it is your ongoing projects which are going to service it.
So let me answer that in two parts. One is we intend to keep the debt at similar level where we are at, and if you see consistently, we are holding it at a similar level. The other is the debt profile will change in the sense, as I mentioned earlier, if you are taking against for land acquisition, the debt is clearly going to get serviced within 6 to 9 months time frame because that's the target. The second is that the capex that is going towards commercial is creating an asset and obviously potential lease rentals and therefore it is a capex. In that sense, the debt is going up. So if you look at the debt profile, you have to look at a little more deeply and understand where we are at. As I said earlier also in the conversation, that on an overall basis, on the residential, the debt has actually come down. And where have we deployed? We have deployed in a plotted development where, you know, the turnaround of the cash flow will be much faster. So I think on an ongoing basis, what's important for us is hold the absolute debt, increase your top line, increase your cash flows, continue to do the launches, and then the number starts looking very, very different over a period of time.
Okay. And going back to slide number 26, we have a big increase with respect to the operating outflows. What would be the breakup with respect to construction and corporate overheads, other expenditure for these 9 months, because you've expanded the team quite well?
Tamar, we can discuss that or we can share that offline with you. But the point is that whatever deployment of capital is happening or operating outflows is happening is obviously generating significant upside on the collections. So clearly, majority of the money is going towards construction of our project.
Okay. So, I'll stop here. Thank you for answering this. Thank you.
Thank you, Samir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Weber from VK Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, one question, like, what is the kind of square footage sales which we are looking at over the next few years? So right now, I think we are at 1 million for this quarter, right?
Yes, we are at 1 million for this quarter. So, you know, as I said, our typical run rate is dependent on new launches and on the sustenance business. Our increased effort towards adding new launches, which is to the tune of almost 16 million square foot in the coming year, and adding to that what is going on in the sustenance business, which continues to churn the sales number for us, will obviously give you a direction in what we look at as a volume. We don't give guidance, we don't give forward-looking statements in that sense, but you can calculate from your own methodology on what the trend has been over the last 3 years. And as we go forward, as we launch 16 million square foot, of the phases that we launch, we typically sell anywhere between almost 40 to 50% the first financial year or the phase that we have opened. So if you do the numbers, you would obviously get a sense that we are on a high growth path.
So out of the 16 million, how many, what percentage of that will be launched in terms of the phases which are being launched?
Again, I think we can share that offline. Almost you can assume anywhere between 6 to 8 million square foot would be in the launch.
Launch phase. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I would like to express my gratitude for your participation in this conference call. If you have any additional questions or would like to continue the discussion, please feel free to reach out to us in the coming weeks. Wishing everyone a fantastic weekend and a happy Valentine's Day. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.